Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 168 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recorded live on August 31st, 2018. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Disney universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, buddy. We are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin.
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Been a busy, busy month. I was on vacation. My parents came down. We spent a week in St. Augustine, which was really nice. And then I got sick. So, you know, it has been it's been a bit of a month as far as trying to get the show out. But we are back. We are here. And we've got a ton of news to catch up on.
Oh, good. I like all news.
I know. I love all news episodes. So, yeah, we're in the middle of our world tour, obviously. And by middle, I mean we just started it with the last episode with Mexico. But I think I kind of want to take the world tour and spread it out a bit more, like not do it like boom, 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 so that we can explore.
Well, the world is a big place.
Right. Like, I want to explore a few other things in between. Like, I would really like to do an episode with Dave next week, like answering some email questions. We haven't done that in a while.
We have to do
haven't that. Actually talked to Dave about that. So this is me alerting Dave.
No, Dave's still on board. Talked to Dave.
No, I mean, I haven't, like, mentioned, like, next week to Dave. So, you know, hopefully Dave will hear it.
Just shine the Dave symbol up in the sky. And
what would be on the Dave symbol? Like Mickey ears?
Huh. Well, that's probably, like, a copyright thing. So, like...
Maybe, like, a DW?
Hmm.
Or would that be the Darkwing Duck symbol?
Yeah, man, this is a really tough call. We'll have to work on that.
We need to figure out what the Dave signal would be.
Right.
And, yeah, figure that out. Speaking of Dave Weikert, the news this week brought to you by our good friend Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. All right, so like I said, there's so much news. It's been a month, so we're going to dive right into the worldwide news. And I'm going to start off with a little review for you, if that's okay.
Oh, please.
You good with that? I got permission?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I went to the VI Passholder night at the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about VI Passholder night, and Disney's doing like an extra Magic Hours thing specifically for pass holders. You have to sign up for it. One of them was at the Magic Kingdom. A couple of them were at Epcot. And we were, we were just kind of like talking about how that was, like a new thing that they were doing for pass holders.
Right.
So I went to the one at the Magic Kingdom, the first one. And,
Oh, no. I thought you were going to be glowing.
Oh, no, not at all.
What happened? Tell
so
me.
I went with a couple friends, and all right, no, I think I just went with one friend, but it was so it's only 2 hours.
Okay.
The park closed at 10, and I think it went or the park closed at 9 and it went to 11, or it closed at 10 and went to 12. I don't remember the times, but it was 2 hours. So for that first, so you're thinking like, okay, it's 2 hours. It's gonna be 2 hours of nonstop rides, like. We'll be able to get on everything super fast and everything will be great.
That's the whole point.
Right. Not so much. Because
why?
So the first hour, so let's say if the park closed at 10, the first hour you were still dealing with people who hopped on a line at 9:59 PM.
Right.
And weren't.
And why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Because that's what people do when the park closes. They get online. If you get online, if the park closes at 10, you get on a line at 9:59, you're getting on that ride.
Right.
Despite the fact that the park is closed. So the lines for the first hour were still super long. And then it just was over before you knew it. There were no special character experiences. There were no like ice cream offerings or anything like that. No merchandise. It was just kind of like
hey, a straight extra magic hours.
It was straight up extra magic hours, essentially, which I guess, you know what? I can't complain too much about it. It was like a free thing they offered to pass holders, but I kind of expected a little bit more. I expected even like to make it 3 hours so that you can actually experience the shorter lines. But like I said, the lines really weren't much different than, you know, like Mine Train was still over an hour long wait. And
was that last hour at least dead?
Not really. No.
But here's my question. So, like, let's say I'm in Animal Kingdom, right?
Right.
And Flight of Passage is like a 2.5 hour wait, and they close in 1 minute. I get on that line. You're telling me, like, this park, like, these people will stay for 2.5 hours.
I'm fairly sure that that's how it works. I don't know if maybe for rides like that, if they cut the line off at a certain point, but I don't think they do.
I mean, that's crazy.
It is. It is definitely crazy. But technically, you know, you get online for something while the park is still open, you're entitled to get on that ride.
But how does that work? Like, the bus system doesn't run that late after park closing.
You know what? I'm not sure about that. And you know what? Like, there could be, there's probably a thing for this with, like, those popular rides that have those super long waits. I'm just not aware of it. But I know that, like, in the past, I've gotten online for something, you know, before the park closed and gotten on it after the park closed.
Right.
So
I'm thinking if it, I mean, that, you know, they monitor the wait times. I mean, if the wait's really long, maybe they just, like, don't let people on that late.
It's very possible. You know, again, we're not cast members, so we don't really know. And, you know, I'll have to ask one of my cast member friends. Oh, also, I need to do a correction from our Mexico Pavilion episode. Remember I talked about those dolls that they sell?
Yeah, like you went on at length.
The worry dolls. Yeah, apparently they're not there anymore. We were at the Mexico Pavilion, and my girlfriend was like, I want to get one of those worry dolls. And she went to, like, every single kiosk in there, and they were like, oh, no, we don't have those. So apparently they stopped. Apparently that was outdated information, so I'm sorry about that. And, yeah, that's my correction.
I think you just caused some serious anxiety for people out there.
Yeah, you know what? Like, there's no one taking the worries away from your children
right.
anymore. It's going to be a right. much more worrisome world out
well,
there.
If I was you, Kevin, nice little, you know, business startup there. Start sewing together
some worry dolls.
Where... Available at KevinKessler.com.
Exactly.
You can now buy.
You now buy worry dolls. So, also, I went to another... My friend, thanks to my friend Michelle, who's a DVC owner, I went to another Moonlight Magic at Epcot.
Okay, now that is good.
Yeah, no, it was really fun. So it was at Epcot. Like I said, we got on all the rides pretty quick. Pretty much did everything, even Frozen. Frozen was only a 20-minute wait.
Okay.
Which was great. So I finally got to experience the queue for Frozen, which is pretty cool.
I have not done that. I only did Fastpass. What's the queue like?
I mean, it's pretty standard until you get into the Wandering Oaken's shop. Because they've got, like, the little sauna in there, and, like, they peek out of the sauna.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's like a little screen in there, which is pretty cool. But I went on with, like, some friends who were not really like, familiar with that attraction, and they loved it. So I always like watching people see, because, you know, I feel like the Frozen Ever After gets a lot of flack from people, but it's a pretty incredible dark ride, especially when you look at it from a technical standpoint. Like, it's one of the only dark rides where I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm in a cartoon.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I would like to ride it one more time. I mean, I only rode that one time and I got really sick, not from the ride, but just in general.
Right, I know.
So I feel like I didn't really get the chance to appreciate it. I also knew it wasn't going anywhere, so I'll be able to ride it again. It's funny, I've actually been debating Frozen a little bit in the shop this week just because...
Have you?
With Frozen 2 coming down the pike.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking a little bit about, like, you know, I think their projections for Frozen 2 are, like, enormous. And I just wonder if is that kind of, like, burnout feeling that we've all, you know, kind of seen people have.
Do you think kids get burnt out on things like that, though? Or do adults? I mean, you're the one with kids, so.
I do. I think there's been enough time that the little, you know, 8-year-olds who loved Frozen are now, you know, 11, 12 years old.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly the same thing. Now, listen, not really for me, because I think that movie's great. My kids still like it. They were never crazy, crazy like Frozen people.
Right.
Which I think actually helps them. You know what I mean? Because they'll be so psyched to see a second Frozen.
Right.
But I just think the people who were hardcore might have burnt out a little bit on it.
And, you know, so we were, when we started the show, we were like right in the midst of Frozen fever.
Yep.
And I was working at the ropes course in the Palisades Mall at the time. So my office was right above a Disney store. And I would see people every single morning lined up outside that store to get to look for Frozen merchandise.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And the general manager of that store was a friend of mine. And she would always tell me, just like, people are absolutely nuts about this stuff. So
I can remember you telling me that.
I'm trying to think of, like, another movie that was that big that had a sequel, and if it flopped, or if it, you know.
Well, it's tough. I mean, Alice in Wonderland.
I mean, that wasn't that crazy, was it? Like, it made
Burton's
a lot.
Alice in Wonderland, it did crazy money.
It did crazy now, money, but it wasn't like a phenomenon the way Frozen
no,
was.
No, but I don't know if anything's been like a Frozen type phenomenon.
Well, Stitch was kind of like that, but they never did a sequel that came out in theaters.
Yeah, and Stitch was also kind of like a slow burn phenomenon. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like Stitch, the Stitchamania that hit, you know, Frozen Fever and Stitchamania. Yep. Stitchamania was more about the character and not about the movie.
You're totally right, because while I think Lilo and Stitch is a fantastic movie.
Oh, it definitely in my top 10.
I agree with that. I think it's actually underrated, which is funny. I do think it's more the character, because it came about a lack of merchandise and, you know, a whole bunch of kind of like withdrawal of the character itself. Frozen did not suffer that. I mean, there was a lack of merchandise because they didn't expect that many people to go crazy for the movie, but they were making it from the get-go. It's not that it wasn't, you know, being made.
Right. Okay, moving along, we've got, so for all of you miniature, I was talking about Moonlight Magic and didn't...
Right.
Yeah. So they have changed things a little bit for those of you that are going to be attending a Moonlight Magic. You weren't in the past, you were able to get like unlimited hot dogs and cookies and sodas and stuff like that. Not so much. They give you a meal voucher now.
Huh. How do you use it?
So you go. There were three restaurants open: Sunshine Seasons, the one in the American Pavilion, mm-hmm. and Electric Umbrella.
Okay.
So I ate the Electric Umbrella for the first time.
Ethan would be so proud of you.
I know. But now, instead of just getting hot dogs and stuff like that, you have the full menu available, and you can get any quick service meal.
That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how many people were like, you know, going like, you know, Kobayashi, like going up and eating all the hot dogs, but.
Do you think that's what it was? There were guys going in there who were like, oh, I'll take 20.
They were just like hefty Asian men going in there with cups of water, ready to just like set new world records.
Sticking the buns in the water.
Exactly. I got the brisket sandwich there with the beer cheese on it. It was really good.
Oh, that sounds good.
It was fantastic. I was like, I understand why this is a thing for Pete and his family now.
I'm pretty sure it has nothing to do with the food, but
probably not. The other thing, yeah, they had characters out there. Sebastian was out there, and Star-Lord and Gamora.
Oh, that's cool.
Which, by the way, this Guardians of the Galaxy attraction, so like the skeleton of it is up at Epcot now. It's massive.
Wow.
This building is massive.
Is the building tall?
Yes.
Oh, it is.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm just debating whether I can do this ride or not.
It's like almost as tall as Spaceship Earth.
Really?
From what I can see from the parking lot, yeah. It's supremely huge.
You know I have a fear of all things like kind of crazy coaster.
I know. So we'll see how crazy this is going to be.
Hopefully not crazy.
Yeah. So they still have the free ice cream and everything like that. Moonlight Magic is still a really wonderful thing. And I'm, you know, I'm glad Disney does it. Okay, so moving along, miniature golf enthusiasts, if you are coming in September, Fantasia Gardens will be closing for a refurbishment starting on September the 4th and going through September the 28th. So virtually the entire month of September blacked out there for Fantasia Gardens, but you can still go to Winter Summerland. So you've never played miniature golf at Disney, I know.
No, not something I'm probably going to do.
I've been thinking about it lately.
Like, well, right. Why wouldn't you?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a different thing. But like when I was vacationing, no, I probably never would have done it.
No, my days are too precious when I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, my kids would like it. But do I think a Disney miniature golf experience is that crazy different from a miniature golf experience in my hometown? Probably not enough that I'd be willing to block out a couple hours for it.
Probably not. But I'll give you a review when I go. Digital keys are coming to all Walt Disney World resorts.
Oh, okay.
So they rolled this out at the Wilderness Lodge earlier this year as kind of a test. Apparently the test went well. So the digital key is, it's a function on your My Disney Experience app that allows you to open your hotel, your resort room door by pressing a button on your phone instead of like scanning your magic band.
Right. Oh, that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Do they ever test anything and then it goes bust?
Yeah, I know they definitely have. Like, there are some things that, like, they've tested that just have never happened. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I know for a fact there were things where they were just kind of like, oh, yeah, okay, this isn't going to happen.
I would like a list of all the things they've tested, and then be like, oh, that didn't work.
Yeah. So you can unlock your you can also unlock the hotel entrance gate and any common area doors that require a key, such as, like, the pool for the Polynesian or club-level access elevators. You can unlock that with the My Disney Experience app.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this is being rolled out. It's not fully rolled out everywhere now. But if you do early check-in, like if you do the online check-in, you don't have to go to the, you know, you don't have to go to the desk to check in. You can just use your digital key right away when you get there to open up the
gate.
Yep.
Is it wrong like that? So what if you show up before like your room is ready? When do you find out your digital key?
Well, the digital key will still work to get you into the resort.
Right.
Because when I stayed at a resort recently, my Magic Band worked on the gate before my room was ready.
Hmm.
So then you just have to wait for that text message that says that your room is good.
Is it wrong that I like to go and talk to somebody?
You know what? I actually, we'll get to that point eventually, but I'll tell you about the recent little staycation that I had where I actually did that and I got a room faster.
Okay.
Yeah. So Disney is enhancing the entrances of all four theme parks.
Meaning?
Disney is embarking on a program to enhance the arrival experience at all four of its Walt Disney World theme parks over the coming years. The goal is to make the arrival experience at the parks a more pleasant experience and will cover every aspect from the roadways to the parking lots to security checkpoints and walkways. Disney's Hollywood Studios will be the first park to receive the enhanced experience with a new parking lot main entrance currently under construction from Osceola Parkway planned to open later this year. So they're just making it a lot... Traffic jams tend to build up around these Disney entrances. So they're trying to make it a more pleasant experience so that you're not frustrated when you start your day at the park.
You know what? I bet you it's not crazy money, and it is something that will affect people's day.
They just opened up, I haven't driven on it yet, but they just opened up a new kind of entrance to the Magic Kingdom parking lot. There's like a new like freeway kind of ramp that goes over I think it allows you to bypass the parking lot, actually. So I'll let you know when I go over that, which will probably be this weekend.
Okay.
My Disney Experience app now supports the Shop Disney Parks function.
Okay.
Shop Disney Parks app launched in 2015, mostly to put the concierge services out of business. But now you can use it right in the My Disney Experience app. You on your home screen under the Buy Merchandise function, it brings you all the functionality of the Shop Disney Parks app where you can buy merchandise right from your phone.
I use that all the time.
Do you really?
Yeah, I'll explain why. I have plenty of people who go to the parks, right? Like my friends. And, you know, they're all say, oh, dude, do you need anything? I'm going. Do you want something? And, yes, I want something. But it's easier for me to literally be like, hey, I need – I just did it last weekend. My friend Brett was in the parks. He's not a crazy Disney person.
Right.
He's like, is there anything you want? I'm like, absolutely. There is a new – have you seen the Halloween droid they released this year?
No, I haven't.
It's awesome. It's a candy corn. Like, it's an astromech droid.
Oh, cool.
But it's a candy corn. So, but it said sold out on it, which I knew wasn't sold out. I knew they just hadn't put them out yet. Right. You know what I mean? Because it's not Halloween time. But I was able to send him a picture of it from the app and be like, can you ask about this? And actually, later on in his week, they did have it out. And it tells you where you can get it. So I can tell one of my friends, hey, I'm looking for this, and you can buy it here. Like, what park are you in? Oh, go get it here.
Oh, so you're not using it to actually buy the stuff on the app. You're
using it to locate the stuff so then other people can pick stuff up for
you're me. Using it to oracle for your friends. Like,
exactly.
All right. Fantastic.
I will send them a little map of where they can get it. It's fantastic.
So here's a little bit of sad news. I mean, it's not really a thing that I've gone to in a while, but I always liked seeing it. The Magic of Disney store at Orlando International Airport is now closed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they got rid of it.
Oh, why?
I don't know. But it's gone. I always liked that you had the Disney store, the Universal store, and the SeaWorld store all right there. Like, it was great. But yeah, it's gone.
I can't even tell you I've bought anything in there, but I mean, I've gone in it every time
I go. You always go in it.
You never go on the way there.
No, you go on the way back like you're jonesing for it. It's like
you got time to kill.
Yeah, Disney is cutting back on plastics at all of their resorts and theme parks. In an announcement, the Walt Disney Company plans to eliminate single-use plastic straws and plastic stirrers at all owned and operated locations across the globe, amounting to a reduction of more than 175 million straws and 13 million stirrers annually. Also announced are plans to transition to refillable in-room amenities in hotels and cruise ships, reducing plastics in guest rooms by 80%. Plans also call for Disney to reduce the number of plastic shopping bags in owned and operated theme parks and on Disney Cruise Line, offering guests the option to purchase reusable bags at a nominal price. Nobody's buying a reusable bag.
No.
When you're already paying $30 for a t-shirt, you're not buying a reusable bag. It's not happening.
Now, let me ask you a question, though. Like, I'm cool with, like, the paper straws they have and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I use them in Animal Kingdom and they're fine.
Yeah, I don't care about that. But, like, what about cup lids?
That's my thing, because, like, doesn't that use a lot more plastic than a drinking straw?
Well, right, but if I'm walking around the park, if I got a fountain soda, now I'm going to I want a cup lid on it.
Right, because Animal Kingdom, that's like the nerve-wracking thing, is when you have all the drinks on your tray leaving the quick service location, and you're like, ooh.
And listen, I understand I'm carrying it, but I could still be like a buffoon sometimes and, like, you know, not realize, like, I'm holding my drink and I'm shaking. Like, I want to have a lid on it.
People are going to bump into you. Like, you know, it's crowded. I'm wondering if, like, it doesn't sound like it's being extended to the lids.
I haven't seen it mentioned anywhere, but
yeah, they're saying straws and stirrers. So
I don't know if there's a way around, like, lids like that.
And listen, I mean, if it actually there's some debate on whether this actually helps the environment or not, or whether it's just a red herring to get people to stop bothering corporations about, like, dumping toxic waste. If it actually helps the environment, great. I'm not an environmentalist. I don't know. I'm not going to give an opinion on it. But you know, I'm sure if Disney's doing it, there's probably some facts to back this up,
or, you know, dollars and cents,
or it's cheaper.
Right,
but yeah, you know, and there's, like, the whole thing about developmentally disabled people aren't able to, like, need to use straws, but I'm pretty sure that what they're saying here is they're going to continue using paper straws like they do now.
Yeah, that's gotta be what it is.
Yeah, biodegradable. And, you know, Disney Springs news: Chicken Guy is now open.
I heard about this.
It's been open for about a month, so it is the fast food chicken, fried chicken location right outside of Planet Hollywood, owned and operated by owned by Guy Fieri in Planet Hollywood. It's been open for almost a month now, but they had the grand opening yesterday where Guy Fieri was actually in Disney Springs.
Did you go for that?
I didn't.
Oh.
No, I've been sick. And I could not care less about Guy Fieri. So that's open, and one of the big things about it is it's the only place in Disney Springs where everything on the menu is apparently under $7.
I've heard that. I'm fascinated by that.
I'm fascinated by it too. Like, that's a game changer for Disney Springs.
You know what? Now that's kind of like attached to the observatory, right?
Yes, it's on the side of it by World of Coke.
So I wonder how much that, like, upped, like, whatever kind of, like, rent or however they divvy the money up, because it's ingenious on Disney property to kind of open, like, a super cheap, quick service, like, you can just get this and kind of walk away and eat it. I mean, potentially that is, like, a gold mine for them.
Right, like, if you don't have to, like, pay more rent by using the space
right,
you already occupy.
Right, they're
like,
already,
you repurpose,
you know,
your space.
Occupying space. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. I'm just saying, you know, it's... I don't know if you could open a freestanding building in Disney Springs and try and pull off that same philosophy.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the dollars would make up for the overhead. But in this case, if that is what, you know, if it is how I think it is, that could be, like, pretty awesome for them.
Have you eaten at that Planet Hollywood since it got turned over?
I did. We ate there last time.
I just ate there, I just ate there earlier this month.
And?
I loved it.
I didn't. I think that's funny.
Oh, see, we shared the appetizer sampler, and it comes on, like, a Ferris wheel.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
It doesn't actually turn, but, like, all the food is, like, on different parts of the Ferris wheel, and it was really good.
I didn't dislike it.
But you didn't like it.
Do I ever need to do it again? Probably not.
I mean, Guy Fieri is not really a huge thing for you, is it? Like, he's most of his stuff is cheese.
More than for you, I bet.
Most of his stuff is cheese-based.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. My kids like his show.
We got a slew of resort news, so buckle up.
Okay.
Mickey's Backyard Barbecue at Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground is closing at the end of this year for good.
You know how I feel about this. I'm a little upset. I've never done it.
I haven't either, and you'll never do it now.
And every time I convince myself I have to do it, it's a character meal.
Right.
I look at that menu and I'm like, no.
What was on the menu for that?
Dude, it's the weirdest menu in the world. It's like, hey, we have like, we're gonna grill some hamburgers.
Cool. All right, I'm down.
I'm like, oh, so it's like the barbecue I have in my backyard, but with characters at like $40 a head.
like, yeah.
Okay. I just can't do it. Like, I'm like, nah, don't care.
So it's me. It's ending the final Mickey's Backyard Barbecue will be on December 31st, New Year's Eve of 2018. It's making way for Disney Vacation Club add-ons coming to that resort, and plans for a similar experience are planned for a later date. So the concept is not going away. So you will have an opportunity, maybe with a better menu, to do something like this in the future. Speaking of character dining, a new character dining experience is confirmed for Artist Point.
Now this I cannot wait for.
Yes, Artist Point at the Wilderness Lodge, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Artist Point will continue to operate as a signature restaurant through November 10th, 2018, prior to the switch over to character dining. According to Disney, Storybook Dining at Artist Point will invite guests to venture into an enchanted forest-like setting inspired by Walt Disney's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There, you'll enjoy a delicious meal of fantastic fare with visits from Snow White, Dopey, and Grumpy. Delightful music and activities will help bring classic fairy tales to life, and you will even have an opportunity for an encounter with the Queen.
I mean, how cool is that?
This immersive character dining character dinner takes place amidst the rustic elegance and exceptional dining that Artist Point is known for. You'll enjoy a uniquely themed prefix menu, including shared starters, a choice of individual plated entrees, and sweet spells to finish the meal. It does sound pretty cool, but I know that a lot of people are really upset about this.
Why?
Artist Point is like very popular with people. Like it's kind of like the place where like adults kind of go.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of people that I've seen like on social media and whatnot have been kind of freaking out because they're just like, great, let's just pack it full of kids and characters now. Like, but I've never eaten there, so I really don't have
an
opinion.
But that's the thing.
I
have a friend who Artist Point's that's his jam. Like that's his place.
Yeah.
I just feel like Artist Point is like, you know, the greatest, like, you know, restaurant you could possibly go to that no one goes to.
Yeah, I get that.
You know, so now maybe this is just their way of turning over more heads, like in the restaurant. You know, I mean, what? It's not like.
And that's the thing. Like, I think people like it also because it wasn't hard to get reservations for, from what I understand.
Right.
And Disney doesn't want that.
Right.
You know. So Sammy Duvall's Water Sports Center at the Disney's Contemporary Resort closes actually today, August 31st, 2018. And so there'll be no more like parasailing and stuff like that at the Caribbean at the Contemporary Resort.
Huh. I always wanted to do that. Wonder why.
Yeah, that was always kind of on my Disney bucket list. Like go parasailing.
Yeah, me too.
In Bay Lake.
Ethan always wanted to do that.
Yeah, no, well, you know, it sounds like it was a like an independent contractor kind of thing.
Definitely was.
So maybe the contracts just were up and they couldn't come to an agreement. I don't know. I'm not gonna sit here and guess about it, but yeah, it's gone.
That's interesting. Yeah. I wish Disney would offer something like that. Cause...
Maybe they are. Maybe that's why it's closing. Who knows? It very well might
be. But again, you know, it could possibly be exactly like Artist Point. Maybe there's just not enough people doing it.
Yeah. You know what? I will say I haven't seen it like going a lot lately.
Right.
I feel like I used to see it a lot more like on the monorail rides and stuff like that. You see the parasailing going on, but I have not seen it in quite some time. Center Market will be opening soon at Disney's Caribbean Beach Resort. So that is it's the new quick service location at Old Port Royal.
Right.
According to Disney's announcement, you'll enter the space under a large palapa-like structure accented with glowing colored light pendants made from glass bottles. The market will feature open shutters, wooden light posts, awnings, ornamentation, and unique seating areas. You will also have access to the grab-and-go market for specialty coffee and quick bites. So it sounds like it's just going to be like a souped-up version of what was already there.
Right.
I'm cool with that.
Yeah, me too.
Now, you remember Shudders at Old Port Royal?
Of course.
That's gone.
Oh.
Yeah. Replacing it is Sebastian's Bistro. Sebastian's Bistro will offer a menu that blends Latin and Caribbean flavors. The interior will reflect a tropical beachfront home from coral patterns and kelp filigree to lore-inspired art and nautical themes. It is themed to Sebastian from The Little Mermaid.
All right.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, why not?
right? That's going to be opening later this year, replacing Shutters. So I recently stayed at Caribbean Beach for 2 days.
You did?
Surprised the girlfriend. I couldn't talk about like planning it on the show because it was a surprise and she listens to the show.
Right.
I surprised her with the little staycation at Caribbean. We stayed in the pirate rooms, which have been newly revamped since my last visit there. And, the room was booked by, I shone the Dave Weikert symbol into the sky, and Dave Weikert booked the trip for me.
Made it happen.
Yep, made it happen. It was great. Used the Florida resident discount that they had going on for the summer, and it was really awesome. Now, we just stayed at the resort.
I'm intrigued by that.
Well, I mean, she has a silver annual pass, so we couldn't go to the parks.
Right.
We went to Springs the one night, and we actually did, like, Disney transportation and stuff like that for it. But the reason I bring it up is not to be like, oh, I stayed at a resort. It's to talk about the fact that a lot of people ask us, like, well, with the construction, is Caribbean Beach still worth it? I got to tell you, Pete, yeah. Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. I'm intrigued by this.
So,
tell me why. I'm debating going there.
So, yeah, there's construction. But for the resort, I really didn't think was impacted very heavily. And remember your big thing about the... the pirate rooms being so far away from everything. Well,
right,
they just opened up a new quick service location that's in Trinidad North.
I had heard that.
And it's great. Like, it was steps from our room. It was wonderful.
Hmm.
I honestly...
Is it just a food court, or is there like a little store there also?
It's just... Well, right... Here's the thing. The stores are like merchandise trucks outside of the main pool area.
Is that because of construction?
Yes, that's because of construction.
Okay.
But later this year, they are opening Old Port Royal back up again before, like, the DVC Resort and the Skyline and things like that are done.
Right.
So that was my only gripe was that I like not having Old Port Royal, but the pool was still open. Both the kiddie area and the main pool were still open.
When is this construction supposed to be done?
I'm not sure when the DVC construction is supposed to be done, but the Old Port Royal is set to be done before the end of the year.
Okay.
But like also, like, so you couldn't rent like the boats or anything like that. But let me tell you this. They gave us, as like an I'm sorry for the construction, we got a nifty little Caribbean Beach Resort pin set.
Okay.
It was like on a cardboard thing of the Caribbean Beach Resort pool. And it's like Donald, Minnie, and Goofy like jumping into the pool as pins.
Did you each get one?
No, it was just one.
Oh, that's not cool.
Yeah. Something they do that I like never realized happens at the resorts now is... characters go to the resorts. Did you know this?
I've heard this.
Yeah, so they were doing like we're in the pool, like we're in the pirate pool, and like, you know, just kind of enjoying life, and you know, the pool's nice and warm and there's a water slide and whatnot. All of a sudden I turn around and I see Goofy in a bathing suit
in the pool.
Not in the pool.
Oh
no, he was outside the pool doing like a ring toss game with the kids, and then Goofy left and Donald and Daisy came out and they did a game with the kids, and then Donald and Daisy left and Minnie came out. At that point, like, we left, but I'm assuming Mickey probably came out later. I don't know if Mickey's, like, only in the parks. But, yeah, like, they bring the characters out at the pool now to do activities with the kids, which I think is fantastic.
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was super, super thrilled by that. But, yeah, so I would say, you know, you'll get a reduced rate at Caribbean Beach Resort right now thanks to it. You get a little pin set. And, honestly, I really didn't think it impacted my experience at all with the construction.
All right.
It wasn't loud. Like, I wasn't hearing like jackhammers and like loud
right.
construction workers.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, no, like that wasn't happening. You know, like as we walked along the side of the lake to go toward Old Port Royal or, you know, the pool, you could see the construction of the Skyliner, station.
Right.
And obviously you could see the DVC resort being built up in the distance. But honestly, Pete, it really didn't impact anything. Other than, like, the gift shop are, like, trucks outside. Yeah, it's been too long since my last Disney vacation, though, because I completely forgot about, like, I forgot sunscreen. So I'm like, oh, we'll get some sunscreen, get some goggles for the pool. And, you know, we both forgot sunglasses, so we'll buy some sunglasses. I got rang up for $80.
Really?
Yeah. I was shocked. I was just like, oh, well.
Wow.
They
welcome to vacation, Kevin.
Yeah, like welcome back. Like, So anyway, yeah. So for all of you that have asked questions about whether Caribbean Beach is still worth it, I would honestly say I was hesitant. I gotta admit, but I will say that Caribbean Beach Resort is definitely still worth it, especially with that main pool still open. Now that being said, right. The main pool at Coronado Springs is closing for a long refurbishment this fall, and they're also under big construction.
Wow.
So from September 4th to December 13th, that Mayan Aztec Pyramid pool is not going to be open. And honestly, that to me, that's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the draw, you know?
Yeah. The Siestas Cantina pool bar will be closed through January 6th, but the quiet pools will all still be open, which probably means they won't be so quiet.
Now, do you think when all this is done, it's going to be even crazier there?
At Coronado Springs?
Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, aren't they doing stuff there, too?
Well, yeah, they're building a DVC building there as well. Like, and it sounds like they're doing some pretty extensive pool refurbishments, which I'm assuming...
But, I mean, my whole reason that I haven't gone there is I went there one time and I had a bad convention experience. Do you remember this?
Yes, I remember
that. So, like, do you think, like, with all these DVC buildings kind of in these, like, moderate resorts, like, it's going to just pack them?
Possibly, but the DVC stuff is being built in its own separate building, which I'm not sure if these buildings have a pool or not, but I think it might kind of be like a separate resort on the property.
That's interesting.
Because like they're big built, like the moderate resorts, the rooms all open up to outside. Whereas right. In these DVC buildings, it looks like the rooms are going to open up inside like you would in a deluxe resort.
Hmm. Well, that's weird. It's like a weird mix.
Do you have any tattoo on your wrist?
Yeah.
What is it?
Can you see this?
Oh my gosh, it's the stretching room girl.
Yeah, I started my sleeve.
You started your Disney sleeve.
Yep.
That is really cool. Pete's got the ballerina from the stretching room with the alligator underneath her on his arm.
Yep. Finally nice. Started.
Very nice. Are you going to have all of the stretching room, or is that your only
one
in mansion?
No, that's the only one. It's so funny. One of my buddies is like, you have to get all four. I'm like, nah, I don't really want
that's
the other
That's like
one.
Your whole arm.
Right. So, yeah.
All right. So that does it for the resort news, and we're going to take a quick break here to hear from our sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with more of the news coming at you right here. More 2 Men in the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
All Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer, folks. Take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse.
Yeah.
If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com.
My name is Dimitri Ravanis, and I'm the host of a brand new podcast called Chewing Clock. Now, you might remember me from my old show here on WDPN called The Extra Magic Hour. Well, now I've got a new podcast each and every weekday morning talking about my one true love, college football. That's right, chew on that, wife. You don't have to be a hardcore fan of the sport to like the show. You don't even have to be a fan at all. Sure, sometimes we're talking about what's happening on the field, but other times I'll be arguing passionately that Nick Saban is a Gryffindor, not a Slytherin. So tune in each and every weekday morning. The show is never longer than 15 seconds, and you can always find it on iTunes, Stitcher, and at armchairallamericans.com. The name of the show is Chewing Clock with me, Dimitri Ravanis, and my co-host, Tyler McComas. Join us every weekday morning.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
This is Bill Farmer, and you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse.
We are back, folks, and we've got theme park news. Are you ready for theme park news?
That's the best news.
There's no water park news other than the fact that I can go to the water parks now.
Why now?
I got the Platinum Plus. I upgraded my annual pass to the Platinum
Plus.
Well, because I have friends now that go to the water parks. And so, like, I never wanted to go by myself. And
you can't go to a water park by yourself.
No, it's a group activity. Like,
yeah,
it's a group or family activity, 110%. So
right.
I have friends that have passes that can go to the water parks. So now I'm just like, all right, well, now I'll... It was like a nominal difference per month for like the annual pass. So I was like, all right, I'll do it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I could play golf too if I did that, but that would be a horrible experience for everybody.
You'd get yelled at on the golf course.
Yeah. Or like, what was it like? What were we talking about? Like the foot golf thing where like you kick the ball?
Yeah. Are they still doing that?
I don't know.
Or was that a trial that they stopped?
I haven't heard anything about that. But like, if I get that, like, I'll do that.
Oh, you need to look into that.
Like, I will do that. Like, that is like, when my friend Zach comes in January, like, he's staying with me, like, I'll be like, we're going to go do that.
It's time for some foot golf.
Foot golf. Like, totally, because he's like a soccer dude. Okay, so Magic Kingdom news. So they are doing some pretty cool stuff for Not So Scary this year.
Okay.
We talked about the fact that they added, like, spooky lighting to the Mad Tea Party, which is pretty right. cool. There is a whole new experience in the Pirates of the Caribbean ride for this party.
I heard about this.
So you are on a quest on Pirates of the Caribbean now at Not So Scary to find Gunpowder Pete.
Okay.
Which I'm assuming is you.
I will take anything that's my namesake, so I like that.
I'm assuming it's you in pirate disguise. Like, this is your pirate alter ego. Like, at night, you're just like, oh, Heather, I'm going out to Jose Tejas, but actually, you're at Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party plundering the high seas and being chased by boats.
With a cast member badge, it says Pete.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, Gunpowder Pete is a new character in... and it's a human. Obviously, it's not a new animatronic. It's a human character in the attraction that interacts with guests through the ride. So there's a bunch of new characters. They interact with the guests who are on the search. There are new pirates in the queue area, the boarding area, and Gunpowder Pete himself shows up halfway through the ride.
Okay.
I don't need to tell you about that because you know because you're there.
Shh.
Yes. We have a character lineup for Not So Scary because, as you know, the Not So Scary Halloween Party has been going on for close to 2 weeks already.
Yeah, I mean,
here in August. But
I would like to go to it in August just because I feel like that would be really cool in a weird way.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to, but I think obviously August is over, so I'm not. But I'm going to go sometime in September. So here are the characters.
Okay.
You've got Lotso Huggin' Bear from Toy Story.
Okay.
The second most evil villain Disney's ever created.
Yep. But best smelling.
Yeah. You've got Pooh, Tigger, Eeyore, and Piglet, and usually they're dressed in Halloween costumes. I'm not sure what they are this year yet.
I like that.
Mike, Sully, George, and Boo are at a dance party. Who's George, by the way?
I was going to ask you. I'm like, why is
he like a Monsters University character, I think?
Maybe, yeah. Dance party, though, you're not like getting like a meet and greet pick with them.
No, it's a dance party.
Yeah, don't care then.
Yeah. Elvis Stitch.
That's cool.
That's pretty cool, right? He was at the Moonlight Magic we went to at Typhoon Lagoon. But yeah, so that's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
The Queen of Hearts will be with the Tweedles.
Okay, neat.
Cruella DeVille.
Good one.
Doc McStuffins and Timon at a dance party.
Okay.
Alice and the Mad Hatter.
Okay.
Gravediggers.
What are gravediggers?
I don't know.
It's just like the random people you see in the parade from Haunted Mansion?
I guess so.
Okay.
This one, I feel like they haven't done this one before. Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit.
Huh.
I feel like I'd be kind of in the middle of an uncomfortable situation there.
Right. Are you getting them together?
Yeah, because... apparently they're together. This is Brer Fox and Rabbit.
Okay. That would be pretty cool.
I would love that, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Belle and Gaston together. That's sure to be interesting.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Okay, now this is getting better.
Again, I feel like I'm in the middle of a very uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. Yep.
So Ariel and Prince Eric together.
Oh, that's cool.
Again, I feel like there weren't this many characters in the past. And not so scary.
Last time I went, there weren't.
Yeah, I feel like this is a lot. Minnie, Donald, and Daisy. I'm assuming they're in Pete's Silly Sideshow. No Goofy, though. There is a Goofy. I'm sorry. So Minnie, Donald, and Daisy, probably a Pete's Silly Sideshow. Goofy's going to be somewhere else. The Seven Dwarves all together.
That's always the thing I think. I think everyone should get that picture at least once.
Yep, I have that picture, so I don't need it again, thankfully.
See, I got it twice, because when I went for the Christmas party, they were like in, like, green.
Oh,
they weren't in their regular dwarfs thing. So I'm like, I kind of need this picture.
Got to get it again. Anastasia and Drizella, the stepsisters.
Okay.
Pirate Goofy.
Okay, I've got that before.
Jack Skellington and Sally.
And again, another Halloween classic.
Yep. Mickey, don't know what his costume is, but it'll be Mickey. Jafar.
Okay.
Elena, Cinderella, Rapunzel, and Tiana, which I'm assuming is Princess Fairytale Hall.
Yep.
Tarzan, Jane, and Turk.
They usually have them out. They're over in...
Captain Jack Sparrow at a meet and greet.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Aladdin, Jasmine, Abu, and the genie.
Okay, all together?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
And Moana.
Okay.
And closing out our Magic Kingdom news is the Tomorrowland Speedway and the Walt Disney World Railroad will be temporarily closed during the construction of the new Tron experience in Tomorrowland.
How temporarily?
It doesn't say. The railroad, as of December 2018, the railroad is closing down because they have to reroute the track around what they're doing for Tron. So while it's closed, the steam engine will be parked in Main Street Station. And you can go up and it's like a photo op now.
That's kind of cool. I would like to do that.
Yeah, it'll be a photo op. I'm assuming that's going to be closed for a long time. Because,
I mean,
yeah,
they closed the train in Disneyland when they were building Star Wars Land for the same exact reason.
Right.
They basically built Star Wars Land like on the track,
which is where the Tron is going on the track pretty much.
Right.
Too.
So they had to like reroute the track. And I got to tell you, it was closed for a long time, but I thought it would be closed like pretty much up until like, Star Wars Land. And they opened it a while ago.
Well, it's kind of like when they were redoing Space Mountain and they closed the TTA for a while and then opened it before Space Mountain.
Right. Yeah, that's not cool. Never close TTA.
No, never, ever, ever. The Speedway will be closed for a portion of 2019, they say, as the track is adjusted.
Okay.
So that we know is only going to be... Because, like, this Tron ride, I'm not anticipating seeing it until 2021.
Yeah, of course not. Right.
So, only going to be a section of 2019 for the Speedway to close down. Thank goodness. Just throwing that out there.
Is there anything worse than the Speedway?
No, there's nothing. There's nothing worse.
You don't even have to go on it. I do. Like, my daughter likes to go on it, so I'll, like, ride it with her.
No.
And she's that good at it, but, man, it is just infuriating.
You know what? I did realize that, like, there's those, like, bleachers that you could sit in.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'd bring, like, a hot dog here and just kind of, like, chill and eat. Like, it was, like, because it was an area where there wasn't a lot of people. I don't think a lot of people know that it's there.
And just watch all the terrible drivers.
Yeah, like I could be entertained by that for 5 minutes.
You probably could, actually.
Yeah. So Epcot news brought to us by our good friend Dimitri Ravanas and his college football podcast, Chewing Clock, which can be found on armchairallamericans.com and iTunes and Stitcher every single weekday. The 23rd Epcot International Food and Wine Festival is now open, Peter Mann.
Well, here we go.
As of yesterday, I believe.
Start of festival season.
Yep. It is going to be open for a record 75 days this year.
Wow.
The annual pass holder gift has been announced, and it's very
and
exciting.
It is.
So the first time you go, you get a Mickey and a Chef hat pass holder magnet for your car.
Okay.
Now,
if I
may offer a bit of advice to our listeners, don't put it on your car.
Why?
I learned a very hard lesson this past week.
Okay.
I had my Donald summer pass holder magnet.
Uh-huh.
And I had bought a Darkwing Duck pass holder magnet from like an Etsy shop.
Okay.
And both were swiped off the back of my car in the Magic Kingdom. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? They had a good run.
Think about that.
They had a good run. They were on there for a few months, but and then like I've heard horror stories from other people being like, yeah, don't put any kind of cool magnet on the back of your car at Disney because
people
will take them.
I literally have two magnets on my car and they're like for like school for my kids. So no one cares about that. But
right.
I used to get cool antenna toppers. Like I had the Epcot ball and a Haunted Mansion one and some people swipe up.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like no point.
So now the back of my car just has the regular pass holder magnet on it, which, most people don't want to steal. And any cool magnets in the future, like my roommates actually, my housemates do it pretty well. Like they get them and they just put them on the fridge.
Yeah, I was just going to say, couldn't you just do that?
I don't know how they did it, but they got a third Donald, so they gave me the Donald.
Oh, nice.
So, and I still have the Donald. The Darkwing Duck was only like $10. It's a really cool Etsy shop. I got to look up the name of it so I can like you know, promoted on the show because I really like the work that they do. But they have a number of really cool pass holder magnets for your car, like Star Wars stuff and, you know, stuff they're probably not allowed to use, but that they use anyway.
I am going to have to use Etsy. My daughter wants to go as the parasol girl from Haunted Mansion for Halloween. So I need to find a way to get her costumed up.
Is Ethan going to be the alligator?
No, Ethan will be something political. He was Bernie Sanders last year. I'm sure he'll want something.
Is so random. I need a picture of that.
I'll send you a picture. It's so funny. He loves that stuff.
That's super funny. So with Food and Wine Festival. So you get the magnet on your first visit.
Okay.
On your fourth visit, you get a annual pass holder cutting board.
Oh,
like a nice wooden cutting board with the Mickey Head annual pass holder logo emblazoned on it
that you have to carry around the entire time.
I mean, you know, get it on your way out.
Okay. So I really like that.
Yeah. So each time as an annual pass holder, you check into the park, it logs it. And then on your fourth time, you get the cutting board.
Huh? Oh, I think that's totally worth it.
I am super psyched for this cutting board. I want it very badly.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Obviously, no one has them yet because it just opened yesterday and nobody could have gone four times yet. Because I'm not sure if it works if you go more than once a day.
Probably right. Can't. Why would you just keep going in and out the turnstiles?
Right.
Then, you know?
So also with Food and Wine Festival comes the Eat to the Beat concert series, which is now fully, you know, we know what it is.
Right. We got the lineup.
All right. Ready for this?
All right. Let's do it, Kevin.
It is a who's who of who's that. But it's August 30th to 31st, so yesterday and today is Blue October.
Okay.
All right, so we're into September now. The 1st to the 3rd is Tiffany.
All right, there you go. Good one.
I don't know who that is.
All right, in the 80s, she was like a pop star.
New this year, from the 4th to the 5th, will be Mercy Me.
I feel like I should know who that is.
Yeah, I don't either. Also new this year, from the 6th to the 7th, will be Glass Tiger.
Okay.
The 8th and the 9th, also new this year, Torrin Wells.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that name. September 10th and 11th will be Postmodern Jukebox, which is everybody's favorite. So I finally learned what this is.
Okay, what is
it?
Because
I thought they were like a legit band. They're like a cover band.
Well, that makes sense.
They're a cover band, but like they take the songs and they'll do old-timey versions of like modern songs and stuff like that.
Oh, that makes sense.
From what
cool.
I understand, unless I'm wrong.
That's a great idea.
I feel like every time I mention Postmodern Jukebox, I get a message from a friend being like, "Kevin, you were wrong about Postmodern Jukebox." Like I actually would really like to go see them this year just to kind of see what everything's about.
Right, you totally should.
Yeah. September 12th and 13th, new this year, is Vertical Horizon.
Okay.
As a 90s kid, I know this one. September 14th to 16th, the Baja Men.
There you go.
I'm sure they will be asking a certain question.
Oh, probably multiple times.
Involving canines. And
if it's a 1 hour set, I bet you it'll be at least three times that question.
You think three times? Yeah, I mean, what else are they gonna do? Like
who
wants to hear the Baja Men's other stuff other than Who Let the Dogs Out?
I bet you they have a great, catalog.
Could you imagine, like, you go to, like, the Baja Men set for Who Let the Dogs Out, and then, like, you're just like, huh. Like, you get, like, this, like, immersive, like, awesome, like, set of, like, their other original work that you just had no idea.
Or they just play that song for an hour.
I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Like, actually play the entire song, stop. And then go, okay, we're going to play another one. And they just play the same song again.
You want to talk about things like Frozen and how, like, kids get burned down on it? I'm still burned out from Who Let the Dogs Out from the 90s.
Huh. You never throw it out there, though?
No. I still roll my eyes when it comes on.
Like, I feel like once a year, someone says something, like, just randomly around you. Like, oh, did you let the dog out? You know what I mean? And then you have to say something because they threw it out there, you know?
Yeah. So the 17th to the 19th are the Plain White Tees. The 20th to 21st, Living Color. 22nd to 23rd, new this year, Sheila E.
Okay.
You know who that is?
Also 80s star.
Okay. The 24th to 26th is Sugar Ray. I've heard of that one.
Yeah.
27th to 28th, David Cook. 29th to 30th is Jeffrey Osborne. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not one of the Osbournes, right?
No, it's not. Here's an interesting one. We're into October now. October 1st and 2nd, new this year, Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts.
Oh, okay.
I would see that.
Yeah, why don't you go to that?
The 3rd and 4th is Everclear. 5th to the 7th will be Mark Wills. The 8th to the 10th will be Air Supply. I actually do love Air Supply.
I know you do.
Yeah. So,
have you gone? They're there every year. Have you gone to see them?
Never.
There? I'm surprised. That's like a totally a Kevin thing.
Right? I would. This year, it's going to happen. The 11th to 12th. You know what? I think it was like they were. The one year, I think they were performing the same time as New York Comic Con, and that was when I went back for Comic Con. And then last year, I was sick for like all of October. So,
I remember being there once when they were playing.
New this year, from the 11th to 12th, Anderson East. The 13th to 14th will be Smash Mouth. Oh, new this year, 15th to 16th, 98 Degrees.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that's some 90s power for you.
Yep.
17th to 18th will be 38 Special. The 19th to the 21st, the Devin Allman Project. 22nd to 23rd, Kenny G. I would see Kenny G.
Huh, Kenny G.
Yeah. The 24th to 25th, Billy Ocean. One of the other ones that I need to see, the 26th to the 28th, Starship, featuring Mickey Thomas.
Really? You got to see that.
I love Starship.
You know multiple Starship songs.
No, I know We Built This City.
Right, right. But is there another one?
I mean, I'm sure there are.
Okay.
I caught part of Starship last year.
Okay. By the way, I have no qualm whatsoever with these bands opening and closing their set
with
the same song, because the nature of this in Epcot is you might not see the whole set.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think that that's a perfectly acceptable. I almost hope they do that for the fans.
Yeah, like Wilson Phillips did Hold On for One More Day, I think, more than once. So.
Right, they should.
October 29th to the 31st, so for Halloween, you could have a happy Halloween with Hanson.
I like Hanson.
Do you like Hanson?
Good for them. Yeah, I root for them.
Good for them that they still play this every year?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, as long as you're happy. As a boy from the 90s, I was not a Hanson fan. I was... God.
As already an adult, it made me... I felt it was humorous how people disliked them.
I mean, with Umbop, it was just... I was just kind of... Even as a kid, I was just like, these kids and their dang flab music. Like, I was like, music these days ain't what it was like in the 80s, even though I was only alive for 5 years in the 80s.
Right, right.
I was that kid. Didn't have many friends. November 1st to 2nd, new this year, High Valley. The 3rd to the 4th, Taylor Dayne. 5th to the 7th, Boys to Men. Gotta love Boys to Men.
I bet you Boys to Men puts on a pretty good show.
I'd go to Boys to Men.
I mean, they are talented.
I'd go to Boys to Men. November 8th to 9th, the Hooters. And finally, closing out Food and Wine Festival, the November 10th to 12th is Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
I think that's always the last.
Always
act.
The closer, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we have got some Disney's Animal Kingdom news.
Okay.
My favorite thing to report about in Animal Kingdom, right? Baby animals.
Owls.
No. Baby animals. Sharks. We have a new baby giraffe in the savannah.
I saw that. Awesome.
Yep. So she is 2 months old. Her name is Ayala, and she's now out in the savannah.
I like, I'm amazed that like some of the, and I mean, they have it down to a science literally, but some of these animals are born and they just pop them right out there.
Some of them, they don't. Some of them, they hold.
Some of mine. And I know there's obviously like medical reasons, but yeah. I think it's really cool that some of them, they can just pick up. Oh, there you go.
Well, baby Augustus, he was out with his mother like the day he was born.
Right.
My friend Michelle was on the safari and she saw baby Augustus and they were like, this baby got, our new baby hippo. They didn't even know if it was a boy or girl yet. They were like, he was just born 12 hours ago.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. A new baby mandrill was also born. I don't expect to ever see him because, the mandrills are like never out.
Right.
Have you ever noticed that like you don't really see the mandrills very much?
Yeah, no, you don't.
So the baby mandrill was born August 8th. I said he, but we don't really know the gender yet. It's in the safari currently. The birth is the result of a match made through the Species Survival Plan by Disney Animal Operations Manager Rebecca Phillips, who serves as the SSP coordinator for mandrills and consults on mandrill breeding for zoos around the world. Here's an interesting thing that I actually am kind of interested in. The Festival of the Lion King dinner package, now available at Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's a meal at Tiffin's, followed by VIP seating for Festival of the Lion King.
Yeah, and was that a must?
I feel like I could have a nice night with that.
Yeah, I do like Festival of the Lion King.
Oh, it's one of, if not the best live show on property.
That's a good question. Where does it rank in the live shows?
Have we ever done that? We've done that before. We have done that before.
It's definitely a top five live show.
It's definitely the most impressive live show that doesn't involve like projections and pyrotechnics.
Right. The actual performance. Yeah, it is impressive.
You know what? I would say it's my second favorite live show.
Behind?
The Hocus Pocus Villain Spectacular every year at Not So Scary Halloween.
I mean, are we putting Hoopty Doo in there as a live show?
I mean, yeah, obviously it's a live show.
I got to say, I do have a spot in my heart for Hoopty Doo.
You know, it's been too long since I've seen it. I'd have to see it again.
Okay.
So there are two packages. There's a tier one and a tier two. You get lunch or dinner at Tiffin's. It's a 3-course meal, including one appetizer, one entree, and one dessert, and your choice of wine, beer, or a non-alcoholic beverage. Along with your meal, you'll receive special vouchers for priority reserved VIP seating at Festival of the Lion King and a commemorative cast photo. Within the Tier 1 dining package, you also get to take part in a unique safari tour through the African outback. Escorted by a special guide, you'll ride through rugged terrain to see some of the world's most exotic animals and their unique habitats. So you're getting more than just the Festival of the Lion King here.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Tier 1 Festival of the Lion King signature dining package, which includes lunch or dinner at Tiffin's, priority VIP seating for Festival of the Lion King and the safari tour, is $99 for an adult and $49 for a child ages 3 to 9. Tax and gratuities not included. The tier two package, which is the lunch and dinner at Tiffin's and the priority reserve seating at Festival Lion King, is $74 for an adult and $29 for a child ages 3 to 9.
See, I mean, but here's the thing: you could do all these things without having to pay a package price.
Yeah, but would it still be $99 for that tour plus the dinner? I don't think
so.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right.
Tiffin's is not cheap.
No, but $100 a head.
$100 a head for, well, I mean, and, you know, at the end of the day, I don't need priority seating for Festival of the Lion King. Any seat in that theater is good.
It's wonderful, right?
Yeah. But you also get, like, the picture with the cast and stuff like that. That's pretty neat.
But is it a picture of you with the cast, or is it a commemorative picture of the cast?
That is a very good question that I did not think to ask.
Because I kind of read that as a picture of the cast.
Yeah, like I don't need a picture of the cast, like, waving at me.
Right, that's what you're getting.
I don't know about that.
That would be a game changer for me.
August 13th to November 21st is when you can get this for. So it's currently going on. Hollywood Studios news. Closing it out with the Hollywood Studios.
Here it is.
Yep, and Hollywood Studios news this week is brought to you by our good friends over at Kingdom Strollers, who will rent you the crib or stroller of your dreams for your next Disney vacation and deliver it right to your Disney resort. Check them out over at kingdomstrollers.com. Refurbishment is coming down the pipe for Tatooine Traders. Yeah.
What kind of refurbishment?
I don't know, but it starts September 5th and goes into mid-October. Apparently during this time, the Droid Factory and the Amazing Pictures are not going to be available. You know, the Amazing Pictures where you get your face put into like Star Wars?
Why do they still do that?
I don't know.
There's no way anybody does.
They do it everywhere, too. Like, they do it, like, it's right outside Figment. It's right outside, you know, like...
No one does that anymore.
There's still a Droid Factory available in the launch bay. The Star Wars launch bay, and Amazing Pictures is still at Rock and Roller Coaster, if you feel inclined enough to do it. If you've ever done Amazing Pictures, I want to know.
I did one 1999. I did one of Episode 1 Obi-Wan with my face. It was awesome.
Very nice. You still have it?
Of course.
We are going to need a copy of it.
I would have to find it and like scan it. It's like back in the day when you just got like an old school, like, here's your picture, you know?
So the remainder of the store will be open throughout the refurbishment. So this can't be huge.
Oh, okay. So they're not retheming it or anything.
No, I don't. It doesn't sound like it. It just sounds like they're putting something new in that Amazing Pictures location.
Okay, because I'd be upset.
Aga's Cantina has been confirmed for Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Did you hear about this?
I did hear about this.
So they've officially named... We knew a cantina was coming as a quick service location, but it has now been officially named Aga's Cantina. They released an image image of what it's supposed to look like. It looks a lot like Mos Eisley's cantina.
Right. You have to imagine most cantinas look the same.
Right. Like, it's not a thing that changes planet to planet. So, according to Scott Trowbridge of Walt Disney Imagineering, who is not getting a funny voice because...
He already has a funny name?
No, because I'm sick. Visitors come to this notorious local watering hole to unwind, conduct shady business, and maybe even encounter a friend, or a foe. Chuta solo? Like that kind of thing. Run by an intriguing alien proprietor, Agagara, the cantina adheres to a strict code of conduct that tries to keep its unruly patrons in check. But with a history of being a smuggler's safe haven and a popular stopping point for those seeking to avoid the authorities, you can bet that the cantina has a story or two to tell. Sounds like a wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Love it.
Yeah. Aga's Cantina is the kind of establishment that attracts some of the most interesting and disreputable characters in the galaxy, and you'll never know when a stormtrooper or a familiar face will show up. That sounds like character experiences to me.
I hope so.
Patrons of the Cantina come from across the galaxy to sample the famous concoctions created with exotic ingredients using otherworldly methods served in unique vessels. Okay, so that means mixed drinks with souvenir cups.
Yep.
Kind of like Trader Sam's Gras Grotto. With choices for kids and libations for adults, the cantina will make for a great stop. Now, here's where I am the happiest. Musical, and we knew this already, but just being confirmed. Musical entertainment is provided courtesy of RX-24, the former Starspeeder 3000 pilot droid we first met in Star Tours, who has re-envisioned himself as the cantina's DJ. As quirky and talkative as ever, he's still trying to do his best on the job.
I kid you not. I read this yesterday.
Yeah.
And was I'm not exaggerating this. I read this yesterday and was like, oh, Kevin's gonna want to do a show tomorrow.
Yeah. I actually
And you text me that day. I'm like, yep, because this is so great.
I could not be more excited about this.
Me neither. Like that's the thing. I'm like, this okay, there it is.
You gotta
that's
assume all. Paul Rubens is voicing him, right?
I thought about that. They bring him back?
Well, I mean, he just voiced him on Clone Wars a few years ago, didn't he?
Yeah.
Clone Wars getting that final season, too. How about that?
Where's that final season going, by the way? Is that Disney streaming?
I don't know. Maybe. Says, get ready to listen to some unique music, taste the best drinks in the galaxy, and surround yourself with a colorful cast of characters. You never know what will happen at the cantina. I'm a big fan of them doing this because it's like another Sunny Eclipse with a character we already love.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be nearly as cool as Sunny Eclipse, just because Sunny Eclipse, you know, you're really seeing a show, I think.
Right.
You know, but I mean, maybe it will be. If it is, I'll be thrilled.
And now, finally this week, details are starting to sprout up on Galaxy's Edge. It's no longer just stone and steelwork. They're actually starting to put details on it. So you have some of the buildings taking shape, like some of the exteriors of the buildings. Mm-hmm. They're building a large spaceship, and they put up some landscaping as well. I think the landscaping is temporary. Like they put it behind the main gate, Star Wars Land or Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They put up like a bunch of trees and stuff like that. I think it's to block your sight line. But you still have a very clear view of it through Toy Story Land.
Right. Yeah, my buddy went in Toy Story Land and sent me pictures, and I was like, oh, they're doing some stuff.
Yeah, no, it's taking shape, man. Very exciting. Very exciting stuff. So now they're saying late fall of next year. So do you think, like, you think in, like, November? Like, do you think that late in the fall, or do you think, like, it's, like, October?
I would have to think October.
Oh, man.
I don't know. November's really late.
This is going to be huge.
Is it going to be, like, a bummer that, like, Star Wars Land is opening in Disneyland first?
Yes. It's a huge
bummer.
Because,
in a way...
It's a huge bummer.
I don't think they're going to make them, like, you know, too different
in
the sense
they're going
to
be the exact same thing, which means for months I'm going to have to avoid... Seeing this stuff.
You can't avoid it. It's not possible.
I have to avoid it. I'm not going to look.
And it's not possible. That's not even possible. You'll never be able. You literally won't be able to.
I guarantee you I'll be able to.
All right.
If I have to wear the Ted Mosby Sensory Deprivator 5000 for 3 months, I'll do it.
I want to see that.
I will not have my Star Wars Land spoiled by Disneyland. Not for nothing. It irks me that both parks got Star Wars Land.
Why?
Both parks didn't get Cars Land. Both parks didn't get Toy Story Land. Why not do why not? I know they're doing some kind of Marvel area.
Because we didn't pay a ton of money for a Cars property or a Toy Story property.
But I know that they're getting some kind of little Marvel area, I heard, at California Adventure. But like, why not do a big Marvel Land at
Disneyland
and a big Star Wars Land at Disney World?
I mean this too. I think Disney looks at Marvel as something that's very fluid and changing, you know, kind of according to what's popular at the moment. Whereas Star Wars is a little bit more iconic. Like, you can build a Star Wars land and not have to have Darth Vader in it or Luke Skywalker. Because honestly, you're building a crazy planet that's on the other side of the Outer Rim Tower, and you're totally involved. Marvel, you can't do that. You're not going to be like, oh man, I'm like in a post-attack New York where like aliens came through a wormhole.
Right.
This is awesome. Like, you just can't. So for them, I think they view the characters as the thing that kind of is the attraction of the moment. And I don't know how that works. You know, like, I don't know how you make that. They don't want to build something. They got changed in 15 years.
Right. I get that.
And I think that's the problem.
Well, episode 9, like, is that coming out? Are they doing a May release for that? Or is that going to be a December release?
No, it's December.
Are you sure?
Positive.
Okay.
That was the whole thing. When they didn't push Han Solo back, we now had the longest wait for a Star Wars movie of like the new run here, because we had to wait from May till December of the following year.
Which, based on how that Han Solo movie did, I think is a good thing.
I don't think it's a good thing, but I've also heard a little bit of a rumor that this next part of Star Wars might be pushed into two movies. I don't know how true that is, but...
Well, I also heard that Rian Johnson's Star Wars trilogy has been canceled.
I heard this morning it has not.
No! I was all happy about that.
Sorry.
Why? So, no, you're going to take away my Obi-Wan movie and my Boba Fett movie, but you're going to still give that hack his own trilogy?
Well, yes.
Ugh. Oh, that just made me so mad. That made me so mad. They're like, oh, well, The Last Jedi was so divisive, we're going to give the guy that made it his own trilogy, but we'll take away the things that fans actually want to see, like the Obi-Wan movie, the Yoda movie, and the Boba Fett movie.
I don't think they have any real desire to do just like legacy stuff.
They were doing it, and then, you know.
But were they?
Well, they did the Solo movie and they did Rogue One. Those were legacy things.
Solo, which is, but yeah, no, listen, they're definitely enamored with that A New Hope time frame for some reason.
Yeah.
But I don't think, I'm not saying you won't see it. Jeez, that's all we want.
You and McGregor had signed on, as far as I know, for the Obi-Wan movie.
Well, I don't think there was any like actual contract, but I think he was definitely all about doing it. I know. Listen, it's all we really want is a Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan movie, but
I have no desire for anything Rian Johnson ever again.
Yeah, it's a shame. I don't dislike him, but
I dislike him now. I dislike him now after what he did. You do too.
I do. Which is a shame. I didn't think when they cast or hired him to be the director, I didn't think there was any way this could be bad.
When you take characters that I love and you like do horrible things with them, you're dead to me.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder is dead to me.
You know what's funny? So like 2 weeks ago, this issue of Poe Dameron came out. He's his own comic.
Okay.
And on the cover of the book was Snap Wexley. And
I immediately Greg Grunberg?
I immediately thought back to Force Awakens and how. Like, how much I complained about J.J. putting Greg Grunberg in this movie and giving him lines, and it bothered me. Like, the days when those were my problems.
the simpler time.
When Star Wars wasn't actually ruined, and, you know, it was just a great thing.
A more elegant complaint for a simpler time.
I mean, I said this a million times, and trust me, I mean, I have zero love for Episode 8, but... You know, maybe we really do just have to see episode 9 and before we kind of, you know, anoint any of these movies as terrible or great.
To see if JJ is going to fix it.
He does, you know? Maybe he does.
You know, and I've said it before, and I know we're getting off on a tangent here, but it's the end of the show. People can turn it off if they want. If Luke had just been there at the end of that movie, I feel like I would have forgiven the entire movie.
Yeah. Listen, I think that movie has a ton of flaws, and I think any one of them would have been okay on its own. I think it's everything being a flaw kind of didn't work.
If you had given me, and listen, yes, I've heard the arguments of like, well, Luke Skywalker is a pacifist and blah, you know, like this, that, and the other thing. But like, if you had given me a scene of Luke lifting that X-Wing out of the water the way he should have been able to do on Dagobah and flying to the rescue and having a awesome fight with Kylo Ren and then sacrificing himself in a giant force explosion that like takes out all those AT-ATs, like that would have been my ending, and I would have been like, okay. And yes, I know I'm an angry nerd rage fanboy right now who's angry that I didn't get the movie that I wrote in my head. But
okay, well, listen, I'm gonna play devil's advocate for 1 second. So this movie has to end with Kylo Ren winning and basically being the emperor, if you will, like a galaxy, right?
Right.
He needs to be the, you know, winner and benevolent leader now of kind of everything, right? That's how we want this to end.
We also
want this to end with Luke dying. You're Rian Johnson. Hey, you got to kill Luke at the end. And Rian Johnson, who I'm sure loves Luke Skywalker, wants to do it in a way that's not violent and not sad. How do you do it?
Do you really think, though, that they were like, hey, you got to kill Luke at the end? Or do you think he wanted to kill Luke?
Sure. Maybe he did, too. I mean, we're just, you know, this is just speculation. Geez, none of us really know. But
right.
In my brain, I feel like that beat had already been written that Luke dies in this movie. And
yeah.
I feel like that was put upon him. Do I know that for a fact? No, of course not. It's just what I'm imagining.
The problem that I have is that it felt like he was intentionally trying to undo The Force Awakens.
You know what? You are like the millionth person to say that.
There were these what I call I hate JJ moments, where it's like everything JJ put in place that you were curious about in episode 7, he just undid.
You know, it's weird when you saw, you know, Mark Hamill made those comments about how JJ said when they talked about the fact that he was just in the last scene, that, you know, when she's like there with the lightsaber, like he's going to have the rocks floating around him because the force is just emanating from him.
Right.
And this is what JJ had originally told, like, Mark Hamill, like that last scene was going to be like. And you read that and it just makes you more sad. You're like, oh.
My thing is also, like, why is Luke wearing his Jedi robes at the end of The Last Jedi? Because he clearly doesn't ever wear them. He wears that, like, raincoat all the time now while he milks aliens and sloppily drinks their green milk.
It makes no sense.
And, like, that moment where he takes the lightsaber and he throws it over his shoulder, like, that's when the movie dies for me.
For comedic effect. I know. Yeah. Listen, I don't think it's just a really bad movie. And you know what, if you like it, that's cool, because I'm glad that some people do like it. But, you know, like my friend Sean always says, if you don't think it's a bad movie, it's probably a bad Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the writer in me wants to like the whole, like, your parents were nobody. Like,
I think that's misdirect.
I kind of like the whole, like, you don't have to be the chosen one, you know, spawned by the midichlorians to save the galaxy. Anyone can save the galaxy. I kind of dig that. But also, because it was such a thing with fans, like, it feels like it was just shock value.
Right.
But now it's like, now we've got a Star Wars franchise now that doesn't have anyone named Skywalker in it.
Well,
yes, Kylo Ren is technically of the Skywalker line, but he's a Solo.
And Luke's going to Force Ghost the next movie.
Well, yeah, but, like, what good is the Force Ghost going to do?
I didn't think you could,
light trees
space-time
on
people either. You know what I mean? Yeah. But apparently we can, so.
The Force works in mysterious ways.
Yep, it just keeps getting more mysterious.
You know, and I will give the movie one thing. The one thing that I really did enjoy in this movie that everyone kind of hates on is the Princess Leia flying through space scene.
You know, I love it.
I love it so much. Like, I've been waiting my whole life for Princess Leia to use the Force.
Me too. I don't have a problem with that. I do hope they can work her into this next movie.
Yeah. All right, well, we got off on a tangent there to close the show, but you know what?
The next hour will just be us talking about Star Wars.
Yes. And then possibly 20 minutes on the Gilmore Girls, which, by the way, do you think they're ever going to do another? Do you think they're
done? Let's hope not. Let's hope they're not gonna.
Well, you were that disappointed with the...
No, I liked it, actually. But that's kind of why I don't want them to do any more.
I liked it, but I think that the hour and a half was a little much for some of the episodes. Like, Stars Hollow the musical and the Life and Death Brigade were way too long.
Yeah, they're bad. I don't think they were ready for the format. Plus, I think it's difficult to take something you haven't done. You know, not that they haven't done television, but they haven't done this,
like Netflix,
you know, Gilmore
format.
Girls. And then all of a sudden it's like, hey, run with this and make it just gold. You know what I mean? So instead of making 40, whatever normal episode is, 44 minutes, you're making, the whole thing.
I really wish all the time that, like, we didn't, like, that we could have done the Gilmore Guys podcast, but it's already taken.
Oh, yeah. They do a great job, but you're right. I mean, I like seeing passion about that show.
All right, you ready to head out for the week?
Yep, let's do it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for 2 Men in the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. And please, if you love our good friend Peter Mandel, please check him out over at Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey. At 105 North Union, I lasted the entire show and now I'm going. 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016. Or check him out at roguecomics.com, where you can find a link to Pete's eBay store. If you're planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Universal Orlando, please check out our friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. You can always reach out to Dave at DisneyDaveW@Verizon.net. If you need a crib or stroller for your next Disney vacation, check out our friends at Kingdom Strollers, who will rent you the crib or stroller of your dreams and deliver it right to your Disney resort. Again, kingdomstrollers.com. And folks, our friend Dimitri Ravanas, formerly of the Extra Magic Hour here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, he's got a college football show that is truly spectacular every single weekday. It's 15-minute format over at armchairallamericans.com. Check him out also on iTunes and Stitcher. And for me, folks, my books are available over on Amazon. You can check them out over there by looking up my name, Kevin J. Kessler. The Rocinante series is a 4-book series for young adults, fantasy action adventure that is complete and ready to be read in its entirety. I also have a dark fantasy story out there called Witchers of Elnora, Rise of the Dark Angel, which you can check out, but that is not for kids. So, folks, thank you so much for joining us again this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
Let's do this again really soon.
Let's do this again next week with Dave, hopefully.
Oh, perfect.
Or
shine the Dave symbol.
Yeah, or if Dave can't do it, then we'll do Dave the week after that, and we'll have something else next week. Folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on 2 Men and the Mouse.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the doors until the monorail stops completely and the doors open. If this concludes your visit, we hope you've had a wonderful time and will return home safely. Thank you for traveling with us.